I'm going to read some scripture over there and once again say happy birthday to all the people that had birthdays. I'm especially aware of it because today's Noah's birthday and he's 17 and I can't hardly believe that and that I could have a child that's 17 years old, but that's how time is. You know, if it goes on, we all get older. And so appreciate him and hope he has a good birthday. And it's Addie's birthday today and several birthdays in the church, but a couple of them today. But Acts chapter number 13, let's read a few verses beginning at verse 34 down through verse number 37. And I referenced to this a couple of Sundays ago where had David had served his own generation. And I had use this in the message that I preached on the ungeneration towards the end of the message. And I hadn't actually thought about that till I'd studied for that message. And I got to thinking about this again. How it'd been several years since I'd looked at it, but this is what I want to try to preach from today. Actually, verse number 36, how David served his own generation. But let's begin reading in verse number 34 down through verse number 37. The Bible says, "And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just want to thank you for the many blessings that you've given to us. And Lord, just the privilege of being able to come together this morning. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts and help us and give liberty this morning. Lord, I really cannot just come in the power of my flesh and just preach just because I've always preached or preached for a long time. Lord, I need your help. I need your touch. I need liberty from the Spirit of the Lord every time that we open your word. And God, I pray for your help this morning. I pray that you'd speak to my heart. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray for our young people, especially this morning as they get ready to go back to school in the coming days and next week. Lord, I pray that you'd help them to realize, Lord, that there's such a need in our day and in this community and in our county for you to be represented in the schools and in the homeschooling system and the public school system. And Lord, help us as parents to realize that, Lord, we need to serve you where we work and where we live and in our community. Lord, I pray that you'd raise up in our midst those who will serve their generation. Help me to do what you'd have me to do. And Lord, I pray for this church and I pray for souls to be saved. I pray for all of our missionaries this morning that you'd be with them as they serve on the field. And God, I pray you'd give them fruit for their labor. We'll thank you for all that you do. Help us just now, I pray, and I ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. Let's read that verse one more time. Verse number 36, and I have this underlined in my Bible because I think it's significant. It said, "For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption." Now, I like what the Bible says there about how David had served his own generation. You know, David is not right now serving our generation. David served his generation, others served their generation, and it's up to us this morning to serve our generation. David was many, many things in his life. David was, if you was to look at a copy of David's resume, and I know they didn't have him in those day and time, but all the things that David did, David was very talented. David had a lot of experiences in his life. He was a songwriter. He was a singer. He was a musician. Played instruments. David. He was a shepherd as well. Growing up, he was a warrior. He was a man of war, we might say. He later became king. David was a father. David was many, many things. If we were to look at all the qualities that he had, but you know, what God says about David more than anything else is that God brings out the fact that David was a servant of the Lord. In fact, Psalms chapter number 18, the title there to that psalm says, David, a servant of the Lord. He doesn't talk about David being a king. He doesn't talk about David being a shepherd or anything else. He talks about him as a servant. Boy, in our day and time, we need people who will just have a servant's heart and have a desire to just simply serve the Lord. But David, the Bible says here in verse number 36, David, after he had served his own generation, the Bible says in Psalms 119 in verse number 90, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. You know, we need some Davids in our day and time. We need some people. God is still faithful. Oh, we're living in a different day, and David lived thousands of years ago, but we still need some people that will serve in our generation. A generation, and I've pointed this out before, a generation is simply a group of individuals born and living together at the same time. You know that word I was trying to say. Living together at the same time. And here in the church this morning, we have some overlapping generations. There's some of an older generation. And you know many, many people that have already gone on to be with the Lord. And we have some people but we're all living together at the same time. You see what I'm saying this morning? There's a huge span of generations here today, but we're all living together at the same time. We all constitute what we would call this generation, but God has had and will have His servants in every generation from the book of Genesis through the book of Revelation, which deals with not only what happened in history, but it is also dealing with what is happening now. And it also deals with what will happen in the future. God is going to have His servants in every generation. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Let me point out some things this morning. First of all, there's the recognition of servants. And I'm not going to I could preach a whole series this morning on the recognition of servants, because if you think about all the things that the Bible is, of course we know this morning that it's God's Word. That goes without even saying this morning. But the Bible is about, I've heard it said like this, history. And you take the word history and divide it into two words, His story. And the Bible is His story. It's talking about the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's His story. But you know what else we could say about the Bible this morning? We could say that it is a book about His servants as well. Those who served Him all down through the years. If we started in the book of Genesis and we went all the way through the Bible this morning, we would find one person after another that served His generation, served God in His generation. If you went all the way back to Adam and Eve and how that they served the Lord, and they had a son named Seth, and Seth had a godly offspring that came from his line His generations, the Bible says in Genesis chapter number 5, talks about it being the generations of Adam. And in Genesis chapter number 5, it not only talks about Adam and Eve and Seth, but it talks about an individual over there whose name is Enoch. And you know the Bible, what the name Enoch means, it means dedicated. And it talks about Enoch after he had children that he served the Lord and he walked with God and all of these things. And all through the Bible, the Bible talks about Noah way back there, how that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses, who the Bible says was God's friend, and Joshua, who served the Lord, and Samuel, and how that Hannah had prayed for a son and she had Samuel and gave him back to God. And Samuel was actually the boy prophet. God called him when he was a preteen, we might say. And Samuel literally lived his whole life for God. And he was a prophet, and he served during the days of Saul, and he served during the days of David, and he became a great man of God who was greatly used of God. And the Bible tells about him, and the Bible tells about Elijah, who served when he thought that he was the only one. We get the Elijah syndrome sometimes. We think, well, I'm trying to serve God and I'm the only one. And that's how Elijah was, you remember? And he sat down under the juniper tree and he had his lip pooched out there. And the Lord came to him and he gave him a message and he said, you're not the only one. I've got 3,000 other men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. And you know, we might think we're the only ones now, but we're not. There's other people trying to serve God in this generation. And the Bible is full of people who serve God. Isaiah, who we know came before the Lord and saw a vision of the Lord high and lifted up, and it so changed him that he said, Lord, here am I, send me. And many, many people have came to that Isaiah chapter number 6 in their lives, and God has spoken to their heart and showed them he wanted them to do something. One of my favorite people in the Bible is Jeremiah. I love to study about Jeremiah because Jeremiah was called of the Lord when he was a very young man. And Jeremiah gave up this excuse to God. He said in Jeremiah chapter number 1, he said, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak for I am a child. That's how a lot of times we think, well, I can't do anything for God. I'm too young. And that's what Jeremiah thought as well. Oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But Jeremiah said, but the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I commandest thee, thou shalt speak. And that's one of the reasons I like Jeremiah so much, is because I was so young when the Lord called me to preach. And there's Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how that they were very young men when the Lord called them to do what they did. You remember, they would rather die than compromise. And they said, Lord, if thou bidst it happen, because the king had said, I'll throw you into the fiery furnace if you don't bow down and worship my false god. And you remember what the Bible says over there. They chose to not compromise and rather be thrown into the fire. But they knew their God could deliver them. And all through the Old Testament, when we have Paul and Peter and James and John and all of these men. And then if you study church history, you'll find that in every generation, there have been those who have held up the gospel standard all down through the years. The light of the gospel has never gone out. There are those that justify the young history of their church. For example, this morning, there are many, many so-called churches all throughout the land that they can trace back the beginnings of their church to a man. And they'll say, our church was started in 1839. Our church was started in the 1860s. Our leader started back here. But our leader, our founder this morning, goes all the way back to the Lord Jesus, who said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the gospel light never went out all down through the years. There's always been people that have lived for God, that have sacrificed, that have lived their lives to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ and His saving grace, and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ all down through the history of time. The recognition of servants. I am very thankful this morning for the heritage that we have here at Mount Lebanon, that way over 100 years ago, somebody got a burden that this community needed a church in it and started it. And called a preacher and came together and built a building and sacrificed and served and all of these things. The preachers and the deacons and the families down through the years that saw a need to serve their generation. The recognition of servants. And we need to see that there is a need for those in our day and time to carry on the gospel light. It's not good enough, you young people, just to come to church. You need to come to the realization that one of these days, this is going to be passed on to you, and it's going to be up to you to keep it going on should the Lord tarry his coming. And by the way, he's not tarrying his coming. He has a day marked out on his calendar. And I honestly believe this morning that the trumpet is out of the case and could blow at any time. But let's just say this morning, we need to live our lives like we've got to carry this thing on. And we do. That's how God expects us to live our lives. That's what the Lord Jesus meant in the book of Luke when he said, "Occupy till I come." Keep it going. Keep it going. There's the recognition of servants, but let me show you something sad this morning in God's Word. There's what happens when there is the refusal of servants. Look back, keep your place here, but look back in your Bible in the book of Judges, chapter number 2. I just want to point out a few things that happens when we don't have a generation that chooses to serve their own generation. When there is a gap in the generations that will serve the Lord Jesus Christ, we find out what happens in the Word of God in the book of Judges, chapter number 2. What happens when a generation fails to serve God as they should? Judges chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. I'm going to quickly read those verses this morning. And it's not been too many years ago that I preached out of this passage of Scripture. But Judges chapter 2 and verse 8, the Bible said, "And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died." Notice there. The servant of the Lord died, being 110 years old, and they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. Notice what happens when servants don't serve. First of all, there will come along a generation that will not know God. Boy, how sad that is this morning. Verse number 10, the Bible said, "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel." There will rise up a generation that does not know God. You know what that I learned this morning from what the Bible is teaching us right here? The Bible is teaching, if I do not serve God in my generation, then my children will grow up and very likely not know God at all, not be saved, not come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can give our children literally the world. And that's what this generation, my generation, is trying to do for the next generation, and maybe my parents' generation tried to do for my generation. I mean, our society, our country has spent a fortune and fortunes trying to make it where our children just have everything. But we can have where our children have everything, but if they don't have that, they don't have anything. They're no better than anybody that would grow up in any other condition. If you think that that wealth and opportunity to educate and all of these things, if you think that's just that is this all there is to offer to our young people, well, look what it's raised up. Look at the Lindsay Lohans of the world and the Britney Spears of the world and the Paris Hiltons of the world and all of these people that we could point to this morning that the world calls stars. But actually, they're just pitiful, because they've been given the world on a silver platter, and what have they done with it but just ruin it? Just ruin the opportunity. We can give our children, we can provide all the technology and all the opportunities and all of these things, but if we raise them up and they don't know God, I'll tell you what, they are poor. They're poor and they're pitiful. And they're to be pitied to have everything but not have a knowledge of God. That's what happened in the Word of God here. There came along a generation that did not know God, but it's worse than that. Not only will they not know the Lord, but they will be wicked in their generation. Look at verse 11. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. The generation that is raised up to not know God, and the generation that has a generation gap that doesn't serve the Lord, they will not only know God, but they will be wicked. That's what happened in Joshua's day. That's what the Bible's talking about in Proverbs chapter number 30, where I preached a couple of weeks ago on the ungeneration, when where the Bible talks about there is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up and all of those things. It describes a generation over there that is without God, that is disobedient and self-righteous and full of pride and mean as the devil. And you know what? That's the generation in America today. A wicked generation. Our society is wicked. We pray for God to have mercy and for God to forgive us and all of these things, but I'll tell you what, our society is wicked. And we're just a generation ago. What goes on right now, I'll put it like this. Brother Finley, he's mentioned to me several times about how wicked TV is, and he's given this illustration. I think it's pretty good. He said if TV had started out like it is now, people wouldn't have had, they would have not had it. They wouldn't have put up with that for 2 seconds in their home. I mean, you might as well just hook the sewer up and just pump it in with an 18-inch pipe this morning. It is wicked what goes on. If it had started out like that, people wouldn't have put up with it for 2 seconds. It started out Howdy Doody and Andy Griffith, well, even more innocent than that, and just gradually it has become more and more wicked, and it is more and more, and not just TV, but internet and everything else under the sun this morning is wicked. Why is it allowed? Because the generations have become more and more wicked. Why have they become more and more wicked? Because they're more and more that just doesn't know God. Just like what the Bible describes here, they will not know God. They will be wicked. They will also live in darkness. Look what the Bible says in verse 12. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. My, how we're guilty of that this morning. We are a generation in America that is literally living in darkness and has done exactly what the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, that worships the creature more than the Creator. You know what we are in America today? We are a generation of men that worship other men. You look at the way that sports personalities are worshipped in our day and time. I seen something the other day that said that stadiums were a whole lot like churches nowadays. I mean, people, they're dedicated to sports and men and figures and Hollywood, and even call them stars and all of these things. And you look at the rise of other religions in our day and time. You know, I read an article a while back that talked about when our troops went overseas into the Middle East and all of these things. Oh, they can't evangelize over there. They can't promote their beliefs over there. And what has happened as a result of that is a whole lot of our soldiers that have went overseas has come home Muslims instead of Christians. That's what's happening in our society. It's one of the fastest growing religions in the world. There's all kinds of false things. The Bible said this generation followed after Balaam instead of the God of the Bible. That's where we're at when we reject God and when we have a generation that does not serve God. And that's also a generation that'll die and go to hell. That's serious business this morning. Why is it like that? Because the Bible says in Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 37, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Compared to the multitudes this morning, there's very few that are actually serving their generation. David served his generation by the will of God. And why is it like that, preacher? Because we're a generation that, I read something the other day that said prosperity or adversity makes men. Prosperity makes monsters. You think about that a little while this morning. That's where we're at. Prosperity has made a generation of monsters that are spoiled and only think about ourselves and what I can get and how I can prosper and what I can do for me and all of these things. And we're more concerned about being popular with men than we are pleasing God. And on and on. There's many, many reasons this morning why our generation is the way that it is. We just assume that somebody else will do it. That's how we are. We're a generation of Christians that assumes that the preacher will take care of all the churchy stuff and we'll just go on with our lives and go to church. But we've got to live this life 7 days a week. You know the old saying now, 24/7, that means 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But refusal for us to serve God brings a great amount of suffering upon the next generation. As I look at our society and what's going on, I believe there's a generation that is going to suffer because there's a generation that's failed to serve. There's coming a reaping day in our nation. There's the refusal of servants and what happens. But go back to Acts chapter number 13. There is the responsibility of servants. I'm telling you this morning, I feel a responsibility in my heart and in my soul to do something for God because it seems like there's so few that are doing anything for God. We've got something to do. We've got a responsibility. As God's people, as a church, the Bible said in Acts 13 and verse 36, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God. I'm focusing right here on this little phrase, by the will of God. You know the most important thing in your life as a young person, as a middle-aged person, as an older person, but especially I'm talking to the young people this morning, the most important thing in your life that you could do is find the will of God for your life. David, from a young person, he had served God and he knew about God and he tried to serve God and he found God's will for his life. David would have failed at anything else except being king. God called him to be the king. And God prepared him his whole life to one day be the king. Acts 13 and verse 22, the Bible said, and when he had removed him, talking about Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill my will. David would have been a failure at anything else he'd ever tried to do. God chose him out to be the king. It was God's will for David to be the king. God said, I found a man after mine own heart. David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. I'm telling you this morning, God has a will for your life. That means he's got something in mind for you. And if you miss that, you have missed it. God's got a will for each and every one of our lives. You young people, do not go through life thinking that it's pointless and useless and that nothing matters. It does matter. God's will matters. And it'll make all the difference in the world if you'll find it, if you'll submit to it, if you'll pursue it with all of your heart and all of your mind. There is something that God wants out of you this morning. Proverbs 23:26, the Bible says, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Say, preacher, what does God want out of me this morning? God wants your heart. If God has your heart, he will have you. Now, when I was growing up, I'm sad to say God didn't have my heart. Baseball had my heart. Other things had my heart. That's what I live for. That's all I live for. Want to be a professional baseball player. That's what I'm going to do. Work, work, work. Practice, practice, practice. Study, study, study. But all for just one thing, to throw a ball and hit a ball. But it had my heart and it had my whole life. That's why this heart thing is so important. If God has your heart, He has all of your life, and you will put all of your energies into what your heart. That's why the Bible says, "My son, give me thine heart." God wants your heart. Have you ever come to a place in your life where you just said, "God, here's my heart. God, I want to live for you. I want to love you. I want to be something for you." God wants your heart. God wants your eyes. He said, "And let thine eyes observe my ways." That means that you will live your life in accordance to God's Word. And as you look into God's Word and you're taught from God's Word, you'll go out with your eyes and you'll do that. Give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. God wants your feet. Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Do you know God wants each and every one of us to be a witness? Proverbs 11:30 says, "He that winneth souls is wise." Do you know that's not just for the preacher to do? That's for everybody to do. Where you work, where you go to school. Every one of you has a neighbor probably that is lost. And I may never talk to him. I may never cross paths. If you don't tell them about Jesus, who's going to tell them about Jesus? If you don't witness to them. If you don't tell them about the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, He wants your feet to go to the world and tell others about Him. He wants your love. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 5 says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy soul." Where'd you love this morning? When you wake up in the morning and the first thing that comes to your mind, that's probably what you love more than anything else. You wake up in the morning, "Oh, I can't wait to." You just fill in the blank there. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy soul." It's very easy to tell what you love. It's what you think about all the time. It's what you meditate on all the time. It's what you dedicate your life and your energy to all the time. God wants your love this morning. God wants you to love Him with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. God wants your body this morning. Romans 12:1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Just give Him your life. Just give Him your whole being. "God, what do you want me to do?" As you're all on the altar of sacrifice laid, Paul said in Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live." I'm not talking about giving up your life. I'm talking about really living your life this morning. You know, everything that detracts from my life is things that has nothing to do with God. And everything that adds to my life, it revolves around the will of God and His work. I mean, we're all like that this morning. We get caught up in things in this world, and I mean, it just drains our energy and our life and our desire and all of these things. But boy, if you'll get caught up in God's will and God's work and God's Word, that will revive you. That will give you purpose and direction in life. You know, I do the radio broadcast, and I really enjoy doing that. Now, a few weeks ago, I can't remember exactly what week it was, but I'd had a terrible morning starting out, and start out the day with all kinds of bad news and things like that, and the first thing that hit me was, just call over there and tell them to play one again. Just play an old one. I'm not in any mood to go, and boy, I just can't. Just can't see how I could go. And I kept pondering that in my mind. You know, sometimes in this world you just want to lay down on the job. But I thought to myself, would that really be what God would want me to do? Would God really want me to just hand the devil the victory that easy and just say, "Well, I'm just not going to go do something for God because I've had a bad day in the flesh this morning"? So I thought about it and I thought, no, I'm going to go. I'm going to go in spite of everything, and I've got some other things that I really, really need to attend to. But I went and I got such a blessing out of going. That's a highlight of my day, to go and do something for the Lord. And when I got done, I told Dave over there, I said, "Well, That's a highlight of my week so far, and I got to get back to it. Got some things, but God's will, listen to me this morning, God's will is a blessing. God's will is fun. God's will is an adventure. God's will gives meaning to life. So many people are looking for meaning in their life, and they're not finding it because you can't find it in the world. You can't find it in the things of the world. But boy, God has a will this morning. He wants these things out of your life, but you'll never be the servant you ought to be until you surrender your all unto Him. Every child of God has a responsibility to serve where they're at. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, well, I can never be a preacher. That doesn't mean that there's not something for you to do. God needs mamas that'll serve Him. God needs young people that'll serve Him, that'll serve Him in the public school, that'll serve Him in the new high school, that'll serve Him in the homeschool groups. You know what? We homeschool, but I don't look down on those that don't. But I'll tell you what, whatever you do, you better serve God in it. You ought to serve God in it. I don't see an abundance of homeschoolers that are really dedicated and sold out and living for God. Yes, they have a little bit different education. They have many of them, a Bible education, and it'll sure benefit them. But I'm looking around, and I'm not seeing too many that are actually surrendering to serve Him and making a difference right now in their generation. Every saved person has a responsibility, young and old alike. No matter where God has you, there's I don't know where it started. I don't know if a preacher preached on it or what, but just a little saying, bloom where you're planted. Be something for God where you are. If you don't like where you are, still be something for God where you are. Bloom right there. Hey, God might transplant you somewhere else, but not till you bloom where you're planted. What's that say for us when we, oh God, I don't like this. If you'll do something else for me, I'll serve you there. No, you won't. No, you won't. If you won't serve Him where you are in your bad circumstances, and you pooch at your lip, you won't serve God because you don't like where you're at right now. You think God will move you somewhere else? That's what you do to spoil a child, not grow a child's character. Bloom where you planted. Be something for God where you are. The responsibility of servants. We're responsible to harness up with the Lord Jesus Christ and pull our share. Matthew 11:28. The Bible says over there, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. I'm not doing all this by myself. You've all heard it preached on where it talks about yoking up with the Lord Jesus, and I heard preacher J.C. preach on that one time, and he's worked with animals all of his life, and he said, you always put a young ox or whatever they pull with an older one. And the older one's actually the one that does all the pulling, and the other one's just walking along, learning how to walk along with the other one. And one day it'll grow and learn how to pull and all of those things. But the responsibility, we have a responsibility. I have a responsibility to serve my generation. And then one last thing I want to show you. There's the reward of servants. The Bible said in Acts chapter 13 and verse 36, it says, for David, after he had served his own generation, by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. And what it's talking about right here, it's talking about when David died. And of course, we all know that there came a time in David's life where David died. But you know what? David's influence never died. The reward of servants, David's influence never died. And if you read and study in God's Word, what you'll find out is that David was the standard by which all other kings were compared. Whether they were a good king or a bad king, it was compared to David. He was the standard. You say, oh, preacher, David did a lot of things wrong. Yes, he did. And we all fall under that category. We've all messed up. But David all his life had a heart after God, and David was a great king. The Bible said in 2 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 1, Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, but he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord like David his father. Now, this king Ahaz, he was not David's son. He was way down the line. But he was called David's son, and he was rebuked because he was not like David, his father. Great, great, on down the line. The next chapter, chapter 29, talks about Hezekiah. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old, and he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Abijah, and the daughter of Zechariah, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father had done. See how all these kings, they were all compared with David and how he lived his life. He died, but his memory lived on. He died, but some of his descendants went on to serve God. What a blessing. What a blessing that is. Proverbs 23 and 24 says, "The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him." You know the reward of serving God? It's when your children serve God. That's what I want for my children. More than anything else, of all the opportunities that are available in this day and time, what I want more than anything for them, I want them to be saved and I want them to serve God. Because I know that's the only way they'll ever be happy. It's the only way you young people ever be happy is if you serve God and live for Him. Each younger generation will benefit or suffer directly from what the older generation does. I read one time about how David, his life was like a shadow. And his shadow was cast over generation after generation after generation. Yes, he died, but his influence never, never has gone away. What a blessing. What a blessing. The Bible says the memory of the wicked will rot. There's a lot been forgotten about between David and us. But David's never been forgotten about. Yes, he messed up and did some wrong things, but his right things were so right, and his heart was so right, that his influences lived on and on and on, and even they're available for us to look at today. You know what? Each generation is indebted to the older generation. We're indebted to them. What I mean by that, Paul said in Romans chapter 1, he said, "Behold, I am debtor." That means somebody had done something for him and he needed to pay them back. That's what a debtor does. He needs to pay somebody back. We are debtors to those that paid the price and kept the lights on and preached the gospel and held up the standards and all of these things. Thank God for them. But we're not only a debtor to the older generation, but we are responsible for the younger generation. I look at my children and I look at these children sitting around this morning. You look at these young children in the congregation this morning. We are responsible for them. We're responsible to them. Look what the Bible says here one more time in Acts chapter number 13, and I'll be done this morning. You ought to underline this in your Bible if you haven't. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God. Wouldn't that be a blessing to be said that about you? That you served your generation by the will of God. Are you doing that today? Are you serving Him? Are you making a difference? Are you being an influence? Oh, what an influence that a generation has on another. I can think back to my grandparents and the influence they had on my life. I want to be an influence on somebody's life. You young people, God wants you to serve Him where you are. With what you're doing, you're not too young to start. God has a will. God has something for you to do. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.